And I want to share a message about eternal things. And now we will talk about heaven, our citizenship, which is in heaven. Praise God. So let us turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. The Greek word for conversation is basically what we call citizenship today. Citizenship. So Paul the Apostle reminds us, our citizenship is in heaven. And then he says, from whence? That means from heaven, from the country where we have our citizenship, we look for the Savior. Amen. So we are to expect the coming of Jesus through our heavenly citizenship. Praise God. If you look for spiritual things through the earth, you will be disappointed. Because very often what we see on earth is wickedness, it's sin, hatred. But when we see things through our citizenship, you see, a person cannot understand another country. You may to some degree, but when you are a citizen of that country, you know the language, you know the customs, the culture, then you have a unique perspective. You understand the written and the unwritten codes, praise God. So this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us. Look for the Savior, heavenly things, through your citizenship, praise God. We are citizens of heaven, brothers and sisters. We belong to a country, a city, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. That city has foundations. The foundations are the 12 apostles, the names of the 12 apostles. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So I'm speaking today to a people who have a passport. Isn't it interesting? We call it a passport in English, which basically means you have a document that allows you to go from one port to another port, one city to another city, one town to another town. Without that document, you cannot travel. You cannot get access. That's why Paul says we have a citizenship. We have a document that allows us entry into heaven. What is that document? We will speak about it. It is written in our souls, it's written in our hearts. Praise God. Jesus Christ wrote it in our souls. The spiritual world can see our citizenship. We don't need to say anything. Just as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that the Spirit of God writes the Word of God in our hearts today. When we are saved, when we are born again. And right now, the Spirit of God is writing in our hearts His Word through the fire of the Holy Ghost. So also, there is a heavenly passport that we carry that is clearly there. Either we have it or we don't have it. We cannot cheat anyone in heaven. We can't cheat angels or demons. They know whether you're a citizen of heaven or not. You remember Job? What did Satan say? You are hedging, Job. Of course, Job, I know Job. Another time, the devil said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? See, the devil cannot be cheated. You can cheat immigration officials, even with a forged passport. Yeah, some people are very good at this. But let me tell you, nobody can cheat the spiritual immigration officers. They know whether we have a heavenly citizenship or we don't. Praise God. If you have your heavenly citizenship, can you rejoice? Can you say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. I know I have access to heaven. Do you know the feeling when you have the passport of your country and you are returning? It's a nice feeling, isn't it? You're relaxed. You have a certain self-assurance, isn't it? You know, you look around sometimes and you wonder, does everybody here have my passport? And then as soon as you land, you very confidently produce your citizenship. Because you know that the immigration officials have to honor your citizenship. And you don't expect any problems. Of course, they may take it and they want to check to see if it is authentic, etc. But you have this confidence. Home sweet home. Praise God. Today, do we have that same confidence to go to heaven? If today was your last day, do you relax and say, ah, soon I'm going to enter that port, as they say, the pearly gates of heaven? Let me tell you won't meet Saint Peter there. I don't know why they believe. They said a person died, he came to heaven, and at the gates there was Saint Peter. Like as if Peter is the immigration police officer checking people's passport. No. That's don't give that kind of a job to Peter. He's a great man of God. I mean, that's not the petty job. We can't reduce him to a bureaucrat in heaven looking at passports. Our passport is written in our souls. How did you respond when you heard the gospel? Were you indifferent? Or were you shaken to the core? How did you respond? Did you feel conviction, remorse, repentance? Because you realize that because of the way you lived and I lived, Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. All our sins were laid upon him. The innocent dies for the guilty. If a person hears this and feels nothing, your citizenship is not in heaven. You have great reason to fear death. But I hope I'm speaking to people who will respond to this message if you are not a citizen of heaven. Did you obey the apostle who said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the same Peter that they say is standing at the gates of heaven, the pearly gates. Well, maybe it's a nice thought to believe that Peter is standing there because he's the one with the keys and he's the one who said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So what will you do when you come to that gate and you have not obeyed Peter? The same Peter in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, he stood up, he said, God chose that by my mouth The Gentiles will hear the gospel and be saved. Are you listening to Peter? God chose him by his mouth for us to be saved. Amen. We cannot come with any excuses. You can't say, my church, my pastor, I am Methodist, I am Catholic, I am Baptist. It doesn't matter. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. The word of God is put above the names of God, the Bible says. On the day of judgment, the book will be open. Everyone will be judged from this book. God has a law. It's his Bible. In the same way that we get citizenships based on the law of the country where you apply to. God's law is above every law, above every man-made church and human-made doctrine. Acts 15, verse 7. Please put it in the chat room. By my mouth, he said, God chose me. When did God choose you? Read the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Whom do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, Jesus gave him the keys. For what? The word of salvation. The authority to open the kingdom of heaven. To Peter, yes. That's why the Bible says, as you see in the chat room, what did it say there? It says, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Amen. Is there anyone who wants to argue with Peter? Is there anyone who wants to challenge his authority? So how did he say we should become citizens of heaven? Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Obey this man of God. Because God chose by his mouth. We are Gentiles. We are saved by the preaching of the apostle Paul, Peter, and Paul, hallelujah. But now we are talking about Peter. How do you become a citizen of heaven? Do you know that governments now in the West will not allow individuals to receive citizenships before they pass a test? They will ask you several questions about the country. They may want to know who is the prime minister. They may ask you questions related to the history, the geography, the politics, current affairs, etc. of the country. Why? Because you cannot have a passport, a citizenship of a country that you are ignorant of. In the same way, how can heaven give you its passport if a person doesn't even know how to be saved? How to be a citizen of that country? That's why the Bible says, how did you come in here? How? Who is the King of Heaven? If you say, is it the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Wrong. Just a moment. Is it Michael? Wrong. Is it Gabriel? Wrong. His name is Jesus. That is the first question. To get the citizenship of heaven, you cannot fail these certain questions. You know, some questions you can fail. A few. Do you believe Jesus is coming back after the tribulation or before the tribulation? You can fail that question. But you cannot fail. How many gods are there? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Wonderful. What is his name? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. What glory? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Thomas said unto him, my Lord and my God. Then Paul says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You don't need anyone else. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. Who? Jesus. I was in the Spirit, and I saw one throne and one God sitting on the throne. You cannot fail this question because it is repeated everywhere in the Bible. A person has to be rebellious, blatantly rebellious, to reject the fact that the Bible clearly states God is one and not a trinity. There's never been a trinity. It's invented by Greek philosophers who came 300 years later. They were not from Jerusalem. They were not in the Galilee with Jesus. They did not know Jesus. They knew, they were more familiar with Socrates, Plato, and such people. People who didn't know Jesus. They were from Europe. Salvation never came from Europe. Philosophy came from Europe, not salvation. Salvation is of the Jews, not of the Greeks. I keep repeating. I don't know what your politics are. Doesn't matter. But the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. And I've never met a Jew who believes in a Trinity. They all believe in one God. Praise God. So we need to respect this truth. This is the first truth in order to be a citizen of heaven. Praise God. Imagine if you said there are three kings in Norway. You won't get Norwegian citizenship. You can't fail there. There's one king in Norway. His name is King Harald. It will be disrespecting him to say there are three kings. And we say, God save the king. Praise God. So why will we say there are three gods in heaven? Let's go further. So, be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise, it's a promise, is unto you, unto your children, and those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. If God is calling people, he calls with the same gospel. He never calls anybody with a new gospel. He always calls with the same gospel. Praise God. Let me tell you that heaven does not give visas, a visa. Praise God. Let me repeat it. There are no visas in heaven. You can't say, I have a visa. Because a visa means you are just visiting heaven and you will come back. You'll take a few pictures of Jesus and the apostles and the gold and then you come back and say, ah, oh, it was a nice trip to heaven. There's no such thing. Heaven only gives citizenship. Once you come in, you don't go out. You don't need to. Praise God. Thank God for the citizenship of heaven. There are many people today who behave like they have a visa to heaven. Even the Apostle Paul said he was not allowed to speak about what he saw in heaven. Heaven doesn't like tourists. Praise God. Heaven likes citizens. We belong there. It's our home. Hallelujah. Heaven does not like voyeurism. Voyeurism is, you know, people who are illegally watching something secretly, often something, you know, in a, to get some perverse pleasure. You can't do that with heaven. There's no voyeurism in heaven. The Bible says, eyes not seen, ears not heard. Hallelujah. But it's been revealed to who? To those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, to the citizens of heaven. Amen. When you are a true citizen, sometimes the Spirit of God will show you scenes from your own country. Praise God. Not as a tourist, but as a citizen. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. I am not a tourist in heaven. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. There will be no undocumented illegal immigrants in heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know today that's a big issue in the USA. They talk about ICE, the ICE agents, and a lot of people are in great consternation. We pray for the USA in these difficult times. But you see, in heaven, there will be no such problem. But there are no undocumented illegal immigrants in heaven. Praise God. Either you're a citizen or you're not there. Praise God. I want to speak, share with you a very sobering thought. One can lose one's citizenship in heaven. Let me repeat it. It is possible to lose your citizenship. Do you know, even in this world, you can lose your citizenship if you engage in certain acts? I remember after 9/11, some countries in the West said if you are found guilty of aiding and abetting terrorism, you can be stripped off your citizenship because you become a real and present danger to the other citizens of your country. I understand that. It makes sense to me. Why should a person be given citizenship? They enjoy all the benefits, and all the while they're plotting to kill people around them. That's not right. That's evil. There was somebody called Lucifer. He was a citizen of heaven. He was an honored and exalted August member of heaven, citizen of heaven. What happened to this man? This man lost his citizenship. One of the most foolish citizens of heaven. Today he is roaming around on the earth without a heavenly citizenship. Think about it. What is he doing? He's trying to make you and I lose our citizenship. That's his business. God have mercy. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28 and verse 13. Listen to what God says about Lucifer. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tablets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was founded. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. God have mercy. Let us ponder, seriously ponder, reflect upon the tragedy that is Lucifer. We talk about earthly tragedies, yeah? We talk about great tragedies in the history of the world, isn't it? Destruction of big cities, all sorts of the sinking of the Titanic. I mean, there were many more without belittling that the worst things that happened. But yeah, you look at the history of the First World War, Second World War, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Nothing, in my opinion, compares to this tragedy. What a tragedy. To be stripped of your heavenly citizenship, Lucifer. To be the most hated person in heaven. The most despised person in heaven. Please say with me, this will not happen to me in Jesus' name. I'm speaking seriously. Say with me, this will not happen to me. I will not lose my heavenly citizenship in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, who made me in his image, who was manifested in flesh, died for me, rose up the third day. He who is building heaven gave me my citizenship. I pledge not to lose my citizenship in the name of Jesus. I will be humble. Why did he lose his citizenship? Lack of humility. Please, people of God who are listening to me, I beg you. Do not allow pride to make you lose your salvation. It's not worth it. Why do I humble myself? Even when I believe the other people may be wrong. Why? Because of this. Please understand, I'm a preacher. I know the Bible. I don't want to end up like Satan. It's up to other people. If they don't want to apologize, if they think they have not done anything wrong, may Jesus not allow you to lose your citizenship in heaven. But I fear God. I'm not preaching, I'm more righteous than anybody. Don't misunderstand. But sometimes people tell me, we don't understand you, you're confusing us. I hope I'm not confusing you. I just happen to know the Bible and some stories in the Bible which scare me. In 1 million years, it doesn't matter what happened here. What matters is, did I lose my citizenship or not? Why did Lucifer lose his citizenship? Because he could not humble himself. He could not humble himself. The first sin in the universe in heaven was pride. May Jesus deliver us from pride. There are Christians who can love Jesus, but they have pride. I'm warning you in Jesus' name. Don't try to go to heaven with that pride. Learn to go on your knees and say sorry. May Jesus give you grace. We are doing it because of the love of Christ. We don't want you to lose your citizenship. And I don't want to lose my citizenship. I don't want Jesus to lose his children. Sometimes those who are strong, who know the Bible better, they should take the initiative. When you see your brother is not able to say sorry to them. God will deliver them and you and the church. Hallelujah. Please be humble in Jesus' name. Learn to say sorry. So learn to say sorry. Some people don't know. They don't have that word in their dictionary. Doesn't exist. They never do anything wrong. Only we do things wrong. God have mercy. I say with love. I say this with love, not to attack anybody, no, but I'm amazed. I get shocked. What? No problem. We will say sorry. Somebody told me some time ago, I have the ministry to say sorry. Thank God for that. Thank God. That's a good ministry to have, the ministry to apologize. Which is closer to Jesus? Which is closer to Jesus? Amen. Nobody understood Jesus. Because they only learned the habits of the citizens of this world. No. We don't want to have the habits of the citizens of this world. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15 and verse 15. You remember the prodigal son? The Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. You know who that citizen is? Satan, Lucifer. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Do you want to join the citizen of this country? Or you want to join the citizens of heaven? That's the question. If you join the citizen of that country, his name is Lucifer, you will not end up well. You will be living, eating with pigs. You will lose your dignity. You will lose your wealth. You will lose your everything. I want to join myself to the citizen of heaven whose name is Jesus. He's humble. He washed the feet of Judas. Imagine. Judas is the one who was robbing from Jesus, and he's planning to sell Jesus, and still Jesus is washing his feet. This is a citizen I need to follow. Amen. The ways of God are not our ways. The habits of heaven are not the habits of the earth. His way is as high as the heavens are from the earth, from our way. Let's pray. Let's say, Jesus, make me a citizen of heaven. The citizens of the earth will not understand you. Why are you doing this? Why? Why? You don't know which country we are citizens of. I say with love, not to attack anybody. I'm just afraid for people's salvation. I'm afraid for people's salvation. We are talking about being a citizen of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? Hallelujah. Praise God. Which country are you a citizen of? Hallelujah. When you look at the nations of this earth, the people are diverse, but they come together, unified by common goals and aspirations. Out of many, one. This is what the US logo basically, or the motto, whatever says. Out of many, one. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. That is actually, we should say, the real logo of heaven. Amen. Because we may be from different countries, different backgrounds, skin colors, whatever, but we become one through salvation in Jesus' name. We all put on Christ through baptism in Jesus' name. We are filled with one spirit and we join one body. Hallelujah. Whose spirit? Say Jesus. He's the Father. When you are filled with His Spirit, then you say, Abba, Father, Galatians 4, 6. That means, oh, now you have one Father. So who makes you a child of heaven? It's not a church in some place on this earth. It's a false doctrine. It's one Father, Jesus, who baptizes us into His body. And then we say, Abba, Father. Please understand how the church works. Otherwise, somebody will tell you, if you leave my church, you are no longer a Christian. Who are you to say this? What a false doctrine. God have mercy. We reject it in Jesus' name. It is Jesus who decides whether you will be in the body of Christ or not. How? The Bible is very clear. What did the Apostle Paul say? We are baptized into one body. Yeah? How? Because a certain pastor wrote down your name in his church? No. If it was up to the Apostle Peter, Peter would never accept Cornelius to be a member of his church. Please listen to me. He never expected him. He didn't expect him to get the Holy Ghost. What is the proof that somebody is a member of the body of Christ? Please don't let anybody cheat you. Understand this. Otherwise, you will be in trouble. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. It's the same subject. I'm speaking about citizenship of heaven. Today, there are churches and pastors abusing the word of God, cheating people. That's a false doctrine. Because listen to what the Bible says. For 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For as the body is one, say the body is one. Amen. And hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now listen carefully. Verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Excuse me? Repeat that. For by one Spirit, are you with me? We are baptized into one body. So who decides whether you are in the body of Christ? Say, the Spirit of Jesus, not a church based in Washington or Japan or France. Let's get rid of this doctrine once and for all. This is not from God. This is a lie. Jesus is the Spirit. Say, He is flesh and He has a body and He has also a spirit. When we say Jesus, Yahshua, we are speaking about the Spirit in a body, isn't it? Amen. Now, Jesus, the one God, decides who will be in the church or not in the church. Are you with me? How does He do it? He will fill that person with the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with pastors. Peter did not believe that Cornelius will be part of the church. He was shocked. How? When did he give up? When Cornelius is filled with the Holy Ghost. Then he was shocked. He said, can I resist God? Who am I to resist God? Since God gave them the same gift as He gave me. Do you see? A pastor must shut his mouth, sorry to say this, the moment Jesus fills somebody with the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you are blaspheming. Jesus fills with the Holy Ghost and that person says, Abba, Father. Now he's a child of Jesus. How dare you say you are not part of the body of Christ? What is this doctrine? God have mercy. We need to pray for churches that they do not become institutions which think that they own the souls of people. They don't. It's dangerous. If Jesus fills somebody with the Holy Ghost, rejoice. Say, brother, sister, now you are my brother. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's all. Don't play politics with souls. Don't play politics with souls. May God have mercy. Let me repeat it. We are not called to play politics with souls. God said, the soul is mine. The soul is mine, he said. It is precious to God. Hallelujah. Fear God. Don't come up with false doctrines. Hallelujah. To redeem the soul is precious, the Bible says. Hallelujah. In the book of Psalms, we cannot redeem a soul, only Jesus. Because if you tell somebody you are not now in the body of Christ, do you know how much psychological damage you are doing to them? You have to answer for that soul. Jesus filled them with the Holy Ghost. They are now part of the body of Christ. I gave you a clear scripture. For by one spirit are we baptized into one body. Is that a pastor who can do it? Is it to do with church registration? Nonsense. It's to do with Jesus Christ filling you with the Holy Ghost. Once he chooses that, Peter has to be quiet. The Jews in Jerusalem have to be quiet. Apostolic should be quiet. Otherwise, you are damaging the soul. Jesus will not leave you guiltless. I'm telling you in Jesus' name. Please, let us work with Jesus, not against Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. I cannot decide who is in the church. Never. Only Jesus decides. I don't know if people are saved or not. I have to preach the word of God. Brother, sister, do you believe that there is one God? Because I believe the Bible is the one which decides. The word of God. It's his word. But never tell somebody, I am sure, I know that you will not go to heaven. How do you know? God is able to save them. You should want everybody to be saved. Our job is to clap for everybody, cheer them to go to heaven. Don't put confusion in their way and tell them, if you leave me, you are not going to heaven. Who are you? In Jesus' name. No, 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 no. The Jesus you know, we know him also. He appeared to us also. He loves us also. He filled us with the Holy Ghost also. Amen. Praise God. Do not release or surrender your critical thinking to human beings. God gave you that critical thinking. He told you to discern. He told you to check in the Bible. He told you to read in the Bible. Do not surrender your soul to human beings, only to God, to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm speaking serious things because heaven is serious. Citizenship is serious. If somebody's playing with their citizenship, I don't like it. I'm speaking about earthly citizenship. I always take my passport and my family's and I lock it somewhere. I don't allow anybody to come near. I respect what the government gave me. I respect the law of the land. I don't like anybody playing games with passports of countries. It's dangerous. It's wrong. Respect the passport. Honor the passport. Honor the laws of the land. And that's why I'm speaking the way I'm speaking today. Some things are holy. The citizenship of heaven is holy. Say with me, the citizenship of heaven is holy. Praise God. I live in Norway. I have a Norwegian citizenship. I cherish it. I thank God for it every day. I always tell people, did you get your citizenship? What are you waiting for? Because some of us, we were without citizenship. We came from countries which were not respected. We suffered. We know how it is to be without a proper citizenship, which is not respected by anybody. So when I got the Norwegian citizenship, I really went on my knees. I cried. I thanked Jesus. And I have never abused it. I hope I've honored it. I've traveled in villages in the world, and they put up posters with my picture. And they said, Bishop Paul Thomas of Norway is preaching here. And I don't like such titles, but I looked at it and I told the Lord, I hope I'm honoring my Norwegian citizenship. Otherwise, I could have been in a country and I'm drunk and I beat somebody, I'm in prison. And they said, there's a Norwegian citizen here in prison. And they will call the Norwegian embassy in India or in Canada or wherever I've been traveling and say, we have a problem. We're going to throw this Norwegian citizen. I could have been bringing shame to my citizenship. I have never done it by the grace of God. I always carry myself as an ambassador of Christ. I try not to even take 1 kilo extra in my bag. I don't want any problem. Somebody comes up to me, can you carry something for me? No, because I don't know what you have in your bag. I don't want to be arrested for drugs. I have nothing to do with drugs. We have to be thankful, appreciate. That's why we carry ourselves in a certain way as Christians. You know why? If we are doing this for earth, how much more should we be doing it for heaven? Imagine if I tell you, everybody, I'm a Christian, and they don't see it. People should say, are you a Christian? And say, why? There's something about you, your behavior. Then you have brought honor to your heavenly passport. You should want to bring honor to your heavenly citizenship. Amen. No Christian here should play with their passport. Don't do corruption with your passport. I challenge you in the name of Jesus, if you're an apostolic, don't do it. You will lose it, you will suffer. In the same way, we do not play with our heavenly passport, don't play with your earthly passport. I don't know who I'm speaking to. May Jesus speak to you. If you don't know about earthly passport, how will you know about heavenly passport? Jesus told Nicodemus, I've spoken to you about earthly things and you don't understand. How will you understand? We have to understand about earthly things in order to understand heavenly things, Jesus says. Praise God. Praise God. So we need to understand that God makes one out of many. Whatever your identity is today, thank God for it. But remember, you have a heavenly citizenship. Praise God. You have the world's, the universe's most powerful passport. Do you know that there's a website where you can check how powerful your passport is? Can you imagine? It's not by accident. It depends on your country. The world will only trust your passport if they trust the country, isn't it? Let's say some here from Canada, some from the UK, some from Norway, Sweden, the Netherlands. When you travel, it's not like everybody looks at your passport and says, oh, you come from a very poor country. I'm afraid you may not go back to Sweden. I'm afraid you may not go back to Canada. I'm afraid you may not go back to Norway. No, they just say, welcome, isn't it? They just give you the visa. No problem. Why? Because the country you come from has built up a reputation, a good reputation, for many, many years. Do you know which is the world's most powerful trusted passport? It shouldn't surprise you. I mean, you would think it's USA. No, it's Japan. Japan is number one. In what way? Because the way they look at which is the most powerful is how many countries will say to you, you don't need a visa to come to my country because we respect and honor and trust you. So Japan has the highest number of countries that trust it, that you can come anytime. Crime is very low in Japan. It's a shame to even do small crimes in Japan. The people respect every rule. There are exceptions, but compared to many countries, Have you ever heard of Japanese misbehaving in your country? Tell me the next time it happened. Japanese tourists travel all over the world. I say this, we need to clap for the Japanese. Well done. Brother Lash has been to Japan. He told me about the order. He told me, Brother Paul, you like order. I know you like everything to be t neat and tidy. You will be happy in Japan. But the Japanese behave well, and so the world respects them. How much more the citizenship of heaven, brothers and sisters? Am I making sense? Say amen, say hallelujah. I'm trying to challenge us to remember you are carrying the passport of heaven. I have a responsibility, how I behave. I cannot end up in trouble in a foreign country or somewhere because I don't want to bring shame to Norway. At the same time, I want to bring the greatest honor to my country, heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. You know, angels go with me. They are citizens of heaven. And if I'm not behaving like them, they must be sad. If they see me doing corruption, if they see me speaking evil things, doing evil things, they will be so sad. May Jesus help us. The Apostle Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we have a Christian nation. Say we are part of a Christian nation, founded upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Bible is our constitution. Hallelujah. The founding fathers are the apostles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. This is our identity. It is rooted in our heavenly allegiance. Praise God. Amen. When I tell people on this earth, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that. And they say, why? And I say, because I'm a Christian. It means I'm telling them, I have a country. In my country, it's not allowed to do this. Praise God. My country will be ashamed of me. My king will be ashamed of me. My president, Jesus, he didn't teach me. In my country, this is not our culture. Like what? I don't drink in pubs. I don't drink alcohol. I don't go to pubs. I don't need to tell you everything. Just look at the Bible. Amen. We have rules in our country. We have commands, what we can do and what we cannot do. Every country, you know, I'm surprised when you travel, you immediately try to find out what is allowed in a country, isn't it? Otherwise, why do you travel there? I don't agree with them. I don't want to go to Saudi Arabia as a female because I have to cover my head. I know I don't like that. We are Westerners in a sense, and I don't like a country that is not allowing women to drive cars and suddenly they allow them to drive it. But that's their laws. Either you obey or you don't go there. That's their law. When I was in India some years ago, they even told me, be careful, in some places now you can't eat meat because of Hinduism. I imagine, said, well, bless God, I don't care. In heaven, we eat meat. I'm going to eat meat. Praise God. And then you maybe experience an early death or torture or whatever, or prison, and they don't allow you back in the country for 10 years. In some countries, they don't want you to bring meat from your country, from outside, like Australia, because you may bring some bugs or some insects which could devastate the vegetation in Australia. Why will you be selfish to say, no, my diet is so important that I couldn't care about the vegetation in Australia? You don't deserve to go to Australia. Today it sounds like I'm a spokesperson for the foreign offices of different countries. That's not what I'm doing. The Bible tells us to respect a country and its laws. Am I not right? Obey the king. Read Romans, was it Romans 14? He talks about the laws of the land, isn't it? Obey those in authority, isn't it? Why? Because if you don't, you could be in trouble. And then don't blame the king. He has the sword. Amen. It's not in vain. Praise God. So we need to be very careful. We need to read the wisdom of the Bible. The Apostle Paul writes about all of these things. And if we ignore it, sorry, not Romans 14, Romans 13. I don't know what God is doing today. He's speaking to someone, but let me read it for you. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive them to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and then thou shalt have praise of the same. Why? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him. That this cannot be any clearer. If you do good, you don't have any reason to fear any country, except if that country is having bad laws. If a country tells me to renounce Jesus, I would say no. We have a precedence in the Bible, isn't it? The three Hebrew children. Long live, O King. We respect you. But let it be known unto you. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your statue. We won't bow down to you. Amen. If you do good things, you should have no fear of laws in any country in this world. If ever the police stop me in Norway, I have no fear. I stop. How are you doing today, officer? I smile. Of course, police sometimes profile people. Maybe with the way I look, there's some criminals who look like me. I don't know, gangsters, whatever. There could be prejudice. But I have no fear because I have not done anything wrong. So they do their work, they look around, this, and they say, well, have a nice. One policeman once told me, I checked your record. He said, you're a hardworking, law-abiding citizen. I was, hallelujah, praise God. A policeman in Norway told me. He spent time looking at, he stopped me in the car to check because he didn't know why the car, the windows were black. He thought it's not allowed, but they are allowed as long as it's in the back, not in the front. They took their time. He told me, I checked everything. Nothing, clean. Thank God. Because we teach our people to respect the authorities, the law. Unless if they're corrupt, then I can't do anything. I'm in the hands of Jesus. So, if you obey the law, if you respect the citizenship of heaven, you should have no problems with your citizenship on this earth. I know that for a fact. So let's continue. I'm not saying now that we are naive, that there's no discrimination, there's no, extrajudicial problems. These things are there. But we serve Jesus. If you obey the Lord, he gives you favor. Say favor. He gives me favor with the authorities. He gives favor. Let me come through the rest of the message. Language also plays an important role in shaping citizenship, isn't it? Is it wrong of a government to try to find out if you're applying for citizenship and you don't speak the language? What have you been doing here for 7 years? It's a legitimate question. Heaven also has a language of grace, a language of mercy, a language of humility. We know if a person speaks the language of heaven. Even heaven has a literal language. We call it tongues, glossolalia. Heaven is a country, brothers and sisters. It's a real place, brothers and sisters. Every day it's coming closer, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Imagine if somebody's coming closer to their home, to their country, and they're not happy. Why? I'm happy that this plane that I'm flying in is approaching my heavenly home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. Do you feel like traveling on? Praise God. The language of heaven is a language of love. Love God. Love one another. The language of grace, the language of mercy. Sadly, you don't need to speak the language of heaven in order to get a passport of this world. You could be abusive, you could speak dirty language. They don't bother. That's the difference. No unclean thing enters the kingdom of heaven. Make sure your language is pure. Make sure your language, the language of heaven, is clean. Even when we get angry, nobody should say, "What? Did you just use a dirty word, a profanity, an obscenity?" It shouldn't be the language of heaven. Amen. May the Lord clean our language by His Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Jesus says in Matthew 4:24, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Praise God. This call to love transcends the norms of human interaction and invites us into an exquisite way of living that is distinct from the world's expectations. As I said, the language of heaven has no curse words, no profanities. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9, Zephaniah, the minor prophet, he says, "For then will I turn to the people of pure language, and they that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." I will turn to the people of pure language. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Our culture is different in heaven. We worship Jesus. Christians say hallelujah. They say amen. It's a strange culture for those on this earth. I remember the first time I came to church, it was 1987, somewhere there. And I heard these Christians saying amen, hallelujah. I was surprised. I never heard people use such language. So afterwards, I asked him, "Excuse me, what is it you keep saying when the preacher is preaching and when you all are singing?" What was that song? They were singing this song about, "I surrender all, I surrender." And somebody was shouting, "Hallelujah." And I opened my eyes. I said, "Oh my goodness, what is this language? What? You know, they seem like a bunch of weirdos." My first church meeting. So after I said, "Well, what is this you're saying?" "Oh, you mean hallelujah." And they laughed, you know, because I was so new. They never met somebody who really was shocked at these words. I never heard them. And they explained to me. Actually, they didn't even know the meaning. They couldn't explain properly. Afterwards, I had to find out myself. They said, "You know, we are just glorifying Jesus when we say amen, amen, hallelujah, praise God." This is the language of heaven. We have our own language. We have our own tradition. Amen. If you're asking what is the meaning of hallelujah, do you know it comes from Hallel, Ilel, Ilel in Hebrew means to praise him. Hallelujah. Ilel, Ilel. When the high priest would take the water from Bethesda and starts going up to the temple. You remember John chapter 7, the last day, the great day of the feast? That was the Elel feast. When they say Elel, 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 hallelujah. That is where hallelujah. Elel Yahweh is what they're saying, Hebrew. Praise God. Somebody told me it's the same in my language. I said, yeah, but it came from Hebrew. Don't try to steal the Bible's language. Amen. In the Bible, even you can read the psalm, it's called Elel. It comes from Hebrew. Praise God. So in the Psalms, Elel Yahweh, hallelujah. It is praise Yahweh. So it was known as the Elel when the priest. So that is where hallelujah comes from. If somebody asks you, give them the correct answer. And amen means so be it. So be it. Let it be so. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says where two or more agree together. Amen. How do we agree? When you say amen, when somebody says something and you agree, you want the blessing? You want Jesus to be there? Say amen. Hallelujah. That means you also agree. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know your language, know your culture, know your tradition in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And so heaven has a language, heaven has a tradition, heaven has rituals. Baptism in Jesus' name, put off Adam, put on Christ, breaking of bread in communion. Amen. Jesus said, remember. You know, there are not many remembers that Jesus gave us. Thank God. Imagine if we were in the Old Testament. We have to remember so much. So many feasts, so many new moons. But Jesus told us to remember two, three things. One of them is remember the wife of Lot. We are living in the last days, brothers and sisters. What did Jesus mean by remember the wife of Lot? Don't love the world. Don't be too comfortable in the world. Don't give your heart to Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Lot's wife. Say, remember. I will remember. I will remember. I will obey you, Jesus. I will remember the wife of Lot. I will not look back. I will enjoy the blessings of this world, but I will not give my heart. Praise God. Don't look back. But then we are to remember the Lord's Supper. Praise God. His body, his flesh, his blood. Say, I will remember. We are approaching that time soon. We remember the Lord's death until he returns. Say, remember. That's why we are telling you, Jesus commanded you to remember this. Go to your pastor, take the Lord's Supper. Remember the death of the Lord until he returns. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I will remember. I will remember. This is every country remembers, isn't it? In Norway, 17th of May, what do? We remember that we have a constitution. Why do you remember? Why do you put on a suit or what the national costume called bunad? Why? Because we remember that the Norwegian leaders came together in a place called Eidsvoll, not far from here where I live, and they said, we've had enough. We are being ruled by every Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's not what they said, but basically, we are Norwegians. We are Vikings. We have, you know, if you read the Norse Norwegian sagas written by a guy called Sturlason 1,000 years ago, he talked about the Vikings, the chiefs. Forgive me, this preacher happens to be a Norwegian citizen, live in Norway, so you have to know also about our history in a way, just as the Americans will tell us their history and the British. God save the king and God bless America. But Norway also has its history. So don't despise small countries. Amen. Norway, the fathers, so to speak, of course, you can criticize that. You say, where are the mothers? The same with the British and everybody, but let's leave that aside. The fathers came together in Eidsvoll and they said, we are a people. We have our history a long, long time ago, 1,000 years ago. Our history is written. The Vikings, Sturla Sturlason. Why are we under the Danish? God bless Denmark. I don't want to open another discussion there with Donald Trump and Denmark. I'm on the side of Denmark. Let it be clear. We are Norwegians. Amen. There's no discussion. It's an insult to people in Scandinavia. We love Denmark. Now I'm being political, but listen, why will you go and attack other countries? Mind your business. God have mercy. We bless you. We love you, Donald Trump, but stay away from Scandinavian politics. Denmark and Greenland will solve it by themselves. They had no problem before you came in, but that's another issue. Listen, God told us in the Bible to respect every boundary of a country. The Christians in the USA who are supporting this kind of behavior, you are going against the Bible. Amen. We just read it in the book of Romans 13. Respect a country's boundaries and history. Amen. I don't know what is happening to Christianity in the USA, but this is the time we stand and show you're a Christian. Otherwise, nobody knows what's a Christian anymore. Imagine telling Canada you'll be the 51st state. What? Canada's a sovereign country. We bless Canada. We pray for Canada. This is a time of disrespect. I mean, people say what they want. It's not my job to attack politicians. They may ban me from coming to the USA, but if you do that, then it's becoming a dictatorship. That's sad. God have mercy. We need to pray. But you attack and you say bad things about other countries, and we are all supposed to be afraid and shut our mouth. No. We've never been that way in Jesus' name. Christians have always said, are people who only fear Jesus. We respect you, but you need to also deserve that respect in Jesus' name. Praise God. So if you want to know what's the view of Christians from Scandinavia, stay away from Denmark. Amen. Praise God. We love Denmark. We have a brother from Denmark here. It's insulting. We are sad to hear what is being said about Canada. This is not from God. This is not from God. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Amen. Even he respected the Samaritans. He did not antagonize the Samaritans. We Christians need to pray for our leaders to know how to talk. In Jesus' name. If Christians are silent and they side, you're on the wrong side of history. People will not respect you. Praise God. Why is Muhammad Ali considered the greatest ever personality, not only in sports and boxing? Because at a time when people were afraid to speak up, he not only spoke up, he said, I'm not going to go to Vietnam and kill people who did nothing to me. And for that, he became a hero. He lost his title. He lost money. He had to borrow from Joe Frazier, smoking Joe Frazier. I mean, he offered to help him out. He lost. He didn't care about his title and money. Principles and values are very, very important. When dictators rise up, we do not become afraid. We speak our mind in Jesus' name. Praise God. My point I'm trying to share is this. Listen, we talk about citizenship. The Christians should have a clear moral compass. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Amen. We believe we are Christians too. If you love Jesus, we need to see you behave like Jesus, not misuse the name of Christianity to come to power and disempower everybody else. Then people will hate the name of Jesus. Then you're actually working with Satan, not with Jesus. God have mercy. If we're afraid to speak up, then Christianity will be hijacked. I don't mind telling you, there was a pastor from Canada who we had a little disagreement, and it was some time ago. And I told him, I don't think this is from God. You need to pray. No, blah, blah, blah. And after a little while, we began to hear Canada should not be an independent nation. I wonder what that pastor thinks today when you hear somebody say that about your country and you are supporting that person. What? How? Isn't it to be? It's treason if a Canadian will say that we should lose our sovereignty. It's treason to Canada. And you're a pastor and you're a Canadian. You need to speak up. You can't support the sovereignty of your country being taken away. Jesus calls us to love our country. They want to be patriots for that. Fine. Tomorrow, we don't know what they will say about Norway. Norway is an independent country. Norway is has been a long time. And the founding fathers stood up in 1814 and they said, listen, though other people do not consider us to be an independent nation, we consider ourselves to be an independent nation. We're going to write who we are. We will decide who we will be in our future, our laws, etc. And they did. So Norway actually celebrates the 17th of May for a day when they were not independent. They were in a so-called union. Come on, what's a union? It's a joke. Either you are independent or not. There's no union. That's a joke. Nobody wants to be in a union with somebody. No. After that, Norway was given to Sweden. I know there are some Swedes here and some Danes. I'm telling you the truth. This is his historical facts. No, Scandinavians are brothers and sisters. They love each other, but this is the facts. Little Norway was being thrown around here and there. Everybody was playing with Norway because Sweden, Denmark lost in the Napoleon Wars. So part of the deal is, oh, we lost. What shall we do? Well, give us Norway. Give it to Sweden, who won. Is that right to do that with a country? Play ping pong. So Norway said, finally, we are fed up. 1906. Now, the constitution written in 1814 will be triggered now. We will dissolve the unions. No more. There was almost a war. They were ready, but thankfully it was peaceful. And now Norway is an independent nation. I'm saying this just so you know that we didn't get our Norwegian passport by being ignorant of the history of this country. If you don't know these things and you're a Norwegian citizen, you should know it. If you're a Canadian citizen, you should know how your country became independent. So that tomorrow when somebody says you shouldn't be independent, you can tell them a bit about your history in Jesus' name. Amen. These are facts. We can say amen. You know, this is not salvation. If you don't want to say amen, no problem. But I'm just saying, listen. God bless countries. Amen. God respects countries. Praise God. Because what did we just read in the book of Romans 13? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now imagine if you are saying to Canada, you should not have that power to be a nation. Are you not breaking the word of the Apostle Paul? But somehow the Christians are quiet and they say he's right. How are you defending a president saying this? This is dangerous. Respect countries' boundaries. Amen. I think the people of Greenland know how to take care of their business. They know they speak Danish. They know the Denmark. Hallelujah. Leave them alone. Because if you interfere with every country's politics and history, it won't be a blessing. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying everybody in the US is happy about this and supporting and clapping. No, no, no. There are even Republicans rising up now. Truth is the truth. The reason we are sovereign is so that we speak our minds. Amen. We speak truth to power. Say truth to power. Amen. I speak this way also because I'm a professor and I'm teaching critical thinking to students, to teachers. I have a course on democracy. I can teach that, but that's not important. But we know, I'm not just speaking, emotionally. I can tell you about theories, about people like Jürgen Habermas. I can tell you about Chantal Mouffe. These are the things I teach, which most people wouldn't know. We know about the history of the US and the founding fathers and the Constitution and your Washingtons and Jeffersons and Benjamin Franklins. They wouldn't approve of this. So we are not in a good time. We need to pray in Jesus' name. Praise God. Respect every human being. Respect every country. Respect their flag. Respect their language. Respect their history. Why did we ask some time ago to work together in Europe? Because we need to respect the languages of Europe. Amen. You see, everything is in agreement. If I go to Germany and I don't respect German, and I want to win souls in Germany, is that correct? Even God will not be with you. If I come to France, and you know how the French are, eh? Very fanatical with their language. In Canada, Quebec, They almost separated, seceded from the rest of Canada because of French, amongst others, isn't it? They are bilingual. Their prime minister speaks fluent French. And when I was in Canada years ago, in the newspaper in Montreal, they were actually demanding that Kentucky Fried Chicken changes its name to French. Kentucky something poulet, I don't speak French. They didn't want Kentucky Fried Chicken to be called fried chicken. Change that to French. That is how much they defend their language. So I'm just trying to tell you, if you want to come to a country, speak the language of that country. Why will you come, God forbid, from Africa and then you want to insist on your language in Norway? You're not respecting Norway. You're not respecting our culture and our history. You're not respecting the French. Amen. Does it make sense? Can we say amen? I believe God will defend. In time to come, people will understand what we are trying to say here. We are not against anybody. We are just saying, listen, the Apostle Paul told us in the book of Acts, chapter 17, he said, God has made all nations of one blood. Say one blood. Yeah, we are all of one blood. Let's turn to Acts 17, 26. But he said, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And listen now, listen. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Somebody say amen. Bounds of their habitation. You may not agree with the borders of countries, but there is a scripture here. That's why I'm disturbed about what the American president is saying. He's not respecting the bounds of countries. Eh? But Paul is saying that we are supposed to respect the bounds of their habitation. What does that mean? Ultimately, countries have boundaries. If we don't respect it, we're going against God. I think somebody needs to hear this. We say this is a radical preacher. Well, Jesus was considered radical in his time because he said, love your enemies. Amen. Respect the boundaries of countries. Amen. It's always simple. Who would imagine a preacher needs to remind Christians, respect the boundaries? The person you voted for, tell him, this is not what I voted for. Respect the boundaries of. The Canadians joined the Allies during the Second World War. Do I need to remind you about the history of the Second? They have fought almost in every war with the Allies, with the Americans. They shed the blood of their sons and daughters. Why will you treat them this way? This is sad. It really pains me. And then you put huge tariffs on top of it. Continually disrespect. What do you gain by this? God have mercy. I think somebody needs to start fasting and praying because this can lead to something terrible. And we don't want that to happen because nobody wins in that kind of a war. So we need to understand, coming back here, do we respect the boundaries of heaven? Amen. Do you respect a country called heaven? Do you respect its language, its customs, its beliefs? Do you respect its king? Will you try to change the king of heaven? Will you try to make a coup d'etat against him? Will you try to change the foundations of the city of heaven, the New Jerusalem? No, don't touch that. Let's be careful as Christians what we are touching on this earth also, because people have given, shed blood for it. People have gone to war for it. Thank God for the citizenship of heaven. In the book of Romans 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul reminds us, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. If you are leaving a place and you are not going to live there, but you're going to live in heaven forever, should you not begin to have the mind of that place where you're going? Say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus talked a lot about heaven. He kept telling us again and again about heaven. In heaven, it is not that way. In heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. The face of the angels behold the face of the Father in heaven. Amen. Of the angels that protect these children. So we need to understand through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus established the Christian nation. Amen. The Christian nation. He tells us about the kind of character we should have. Read the Beatitudes, how to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you if you're persecuted for righteousness, etc. We are to pursue peace, not war. Blessed are the peacemakers. Hallelujah. Christians need to be careful. This is a big temptation and a big test in the USA in these days. I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with Jesus. But I'm afraid there may be a lot of damage before their eyes are open. Always check the Bible. Look at the character of Christ. Amen. A person's speech, behavior should be like Christ. If it's not, how are you calling it Christian? How are you saying this is from God? The New Jerusalem stands as a powerful testament to the hope that accompanies our heavenly citizenship. Hallelujah. It's a beacon of hope. It guides our journey as we navigate a world fraught with challenges and uncertainties. The Apostle John was invited to see this new Jerusalem, and he so beautifully described it for us. Hallelujah. God shall wipe away all tears. Hallelujah. Read the book of Revelation when you miss your heavenly home. Read the book of Revelation when you are happy and looking forward to your heavenly home. It gives us great hope to know that our citizenship is in heaven. Nobody can declare war against that kingdom, and nobody will win against that kingdom. It's a beautiful place. It's coming closer. It is even closer than when I first started to share this message with you. Thank God for our citizenship in heaven. Thank God for our identity and belonging in heaven. Thank God for the language of heaven. Thank God for the culture of heaven. Thank God for the rituals of heaven. Jesus bless you. Let us pray for a moment. I didn't mean to offend anyone, especially our American brothers and sisters. We know it's a democracy, and so people vote, they exercise their democratic right, and everyone should respect it. It's not a personal attack, it's just a critique. Because ultimately, the power is in the hands of the voters, isn't it? What you say go is okay. What you encourage later is played out on the global stage, not just nationally. It affects other countries. But what you say is unacceptable will also play out on the global scale. The best thing to do is to pray. Let's pray and ask Jesus to bless this message and give understanding to those who will listen in Jesus' name. My God, we call upon your name. We don't call upon the name of just any God. Our God is Jesus, the one and only God that we acknowledge, the one and only Savior who made heaven and earth, who made us in his image, who loves us, who came and gave his flesh and blood for us on the cross of Calvary, rose up the third day. And you've not stopped working for us. You're building the new Jerusalem and you'll come back. You're always thinking of us. We bless you for that, Jesus. We pray that your word will go forward with a clear and distinct sound. I pray that the hearers will grasp it, not with only their minds, but with their spirits, Jesus, with their hearts, Jesus. I pray that you teach us, warn us, correct us, rebuke us through this message, change opinions through this message, encourage those who are discouraged, those who are struggling and stumbling in this journey. I pray that you will reinforce their faith. They will discover new spring in their step on the way to heaven. Bless this message. Bless the hearers in Jesus' name. Comfort your people. Tell those in the heavenly and earthly Jerusalem, or the one Jerusalem of heaven and earth, thy God reigns. Hallelujah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Let there be room for this message in our hearts, even for those who disagree. We pray because in the end we have the same Father, and you, we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see all things clearly. Bless your people. Bless this message. We commit everything into your hands. I pray for the needs of your people. Jehovah Jireh, minister in these difficult times. Those who need a blessing in their bodies, heal them. Those who need a blessing in their finances, bless them. Open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing. You who always hear our prayers, we pray in confidence. Those who are worried, who cannot sleep well, who are disturbed on some account of some problem, peace be still in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those who need salvation, here is water. What doth hinder them from being baptized in Jesus' name, repenting, believing Jesus is the only God, and asking for the Holy Ghost in his name? Those whose clothes have been stained by sin, is the blood not flowing still, Jesus, from Calvary? The fountain that purifies, whiter than snow, is still available in Jesus' name. We bless you, bless your people, bless every heart, every mind. In the name of Jesus, increase our love for each other. Increase our desire to serve you more, to be of greater service to our brothers and sisters. All this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the church says, amen, amen. Jesus bless each and every one of you.